Welcome to the Optimal Health Podcast from Hudson Physicians, getting you back to optimal health when you're feeling sick, stressed, overwhelmed, or run down. Today, we have a great guest, and we are excited to talk about this one. Dr. Timothy Tunin is here from Minnesota Oncology. They, by the way, will be opening up a clinic in Hudson, obviously in the new facility, as the services continue to expand. So today, we're going to take a deep dive into Minnesota Oncology. We're going to talk to Dr. Tunin. We'll learn all about him and his background and all of the great things that are going to be available, especially from an outpatient perspective in the new Hudson facility. Let's take a look at Dr. Tunin right now. His education residency were at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health in, of course, Madison, Wisconsin, home of Bucky. Internship at the University of W as well with hospital and clinics in Wisconsin. Also, he has a fellowship oncology and hematology at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to get into that in a second. His areas of special interest are colon cancer, lung cancer, prostate cancer, coagulation disorders, hematology, leukemia, lymphoma, and, how do I say that word,
myelodysplasia.
Thank you. There's Dr. Tunin, my way of bringing him in. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you here on Optimal Health. Dr. Tunin, obviously you like to stay active with your family. You enjoy warm weather travel destinations, and also you've completed several marathons,
yeah,
including Boston.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, though.
Well, one time is good enough for this cat, so that's absolutely fantastic. So what warm weather destinations do you like to hit?
We like to go to beaches, relax, in Mexico and Florida, and the pandemic kind of hampered that a little bit, but we're back at it now, so that's good. So
kind of brought you back to earth a little bit, didn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, that's great. And so you've got a great balance of life and work and the things that have gone on, and you've been at this this spot here at Minnesota Oncology now for 20 years, right out of residency, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about you and, in your early life of, trying to figure out what do I want to do when I grow up. What led you to medicine, and was there a time in your life where it just clicked?
I grew up in De Pere, Wisconsin, a suburb of Green Bay, so hopefully people from Wisconsin might know where De Pere is. And no one in my family had been in medicine, and I enjoyed science, and I went to Madison anticipating I'd be a scientist, maybe do some bench research. And through my time there, I was able to meet up with a bunch of great mentors, some of who were MDs, and I did some research in laboratory and was able to meet some people and kind of steered me to medicine. And so I thought that would be an opportunity, and I wasn't really sure. I applied to medical school not having great expectations or of even getting in, but was able to get in. And went to Madison. And in terms of specializing in oncology, I think that that was an interesting journey for me. Because when you do medicine and do medical school, you have to pick a residency program, and wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, wasn't really sure that medicine was even the right thing to do. So I was kind of looking at doing pathology, so where I wouldn't really have patient interaction. And then I met a group of community-based oncologists that I did a rotation with in Madison, and they just had a great sense of patients and patient care and caring for them, and had fun doing what they did, and that kind of made me think about that a little more. And I'm really glad I met those folks, because they helped me, choose oncology, choose internal medicine, and then oncology.
So in the process of that, was working in this area a good move for you? It must be. You're still doing it. So you come across it, must say, wow, that worked.
Right. I think, because you're never sure. I didn't have any exposure to medicine. How do you communicate with patients? And it's Learning is a process. You know, there's stumbles along the way. Hopefully I've become better at it, more empathetic, more compassionate toward folks. But it wasn't always that way, and I think that, you know, experience has helped me, and having some family members with cancer, help them along the way. That's, helped develop compassion and caring for patients.
So with what you do, I mean, we've all been touched by it with so many people that we know. You hear terms, sometimes you don't really get to it, you don't really know what is what. What really is the practice of oncology, and at what level in all of this do you come into play?
Sure. I think that, oncology, again, is the specialty of treating cancer. Medical oncologist, which I am, is the treatment of non-surgical treatment, non-radiation treatment of cancer. So when someone is diagnosed with cancer, we help determine a course of action, whether surgery might be an option for them or they need treatment such as chemotherapy or radiation therapy. And a lot of times people, their primary care physician might be concerned that they might have cancer. And well, one of the things I've learned in 20 years is when that concern is raised, people want things done immediately. There's
right.
high anxiety. And so sometimes we need to step in as oncologists to help, direct a path toward a diagnosis. And I think we do that at Minnesota Oncology. We try to make a policy if a referring physician wants us to see a patient, we see them within 24 hours. So I think that's really helped us and helped the patient kind of, might not have all the answers. Certainly a lot of times we don't on the first visit, but I think it gives patients a sense that we care about them.
Right.
We're there. They know someone that's going to be like a lot of times they don't know who they're going to, they can't get an appointment for 2 weeks. And then, and so I think starting that process for them right away is helpful to them.
Calming, right? So, and that has to help at least if you're mentally in the game as a patient, where you're not, for lack of better terms, freaking out. And if that can calm the process, it might make the process of what you need to do a little bit manageable, at least personally for the individual, I'm sure. And every situation must be different. So I have to say, just personally, as just for what you guys do, what do we do without you? It's such a quiet thing that just happens to people. And what you guys do, I think, is just a huge impact. And think about the people that have been healed along the way. I'm sure you have a million success stories that you can speak of. And, there's some situations where there's really probably not much you can do either, right? I mean, it's just the nature of the deal. To that point, how have things evolved over time from when you first came into this, having been, we don't have a lot of time here, to, we can really treat this?
Sure. I think over the 20 years, we've made great advances, certainly maybe not curing people, but I think prolonging life expectancy and also making the quality of life when people are undergoing cancer treatment much more tolerable. I think that with the advent of what we call targeted therapies, such as immunotherapy and other targeted therapies, oral targeted therapies, that has really revolutionized cancer care, cancer treatment, and cancer outcomes. So I think it's gone from, inpatient, hospital-based chemotherapy to outpatient chemotherapy to outpatient immunotherapy and oral treatments as an evolution of cancer treatment over the 20 years that I've been.
So was a lot of this stuff where you would just go in and you would stay? And
yeah.
And how long would those stays be?
They could certainly be days in the hospital.
Wow.
And then so it is part of a community-based oncology 20, 25 years ago. Groups like mine said, we can do this. And as an outpatient, where you could get the infusion and go home, you might need to come back to the clinic the next day, but certainly you didn't stay in the hospital the entire, potentially 4 to 5 days. So I think that helps patients when they're able to leave a hospital. Certainly, that I think is beneficial, and that, again, as community oncology, that decreases the total cost of care if you don't have to be in a hospital because there's a hospital bed, because there's expenses with that add to the total cost of care of a patient.
So the term community oncology is basically meaning you stay in the community, you go home.
Right.
And you can function. So when you're going through some, I'm sure every treatment is a little bit different, but what are the levels of, obviously the hospital beds serve a purpose for some things. Are there things that are being done that aren't as, I don't want to say taxing, but I mean, has the treatments changed or evolved in that way where you're going through things, but maybe not like someone was 40 years ago?
Yes, I think we also have better what we call supportive care medications. So, treatment of nausea, prevention of nausea.
Wow.
I think that's one of the major factors of people with fear of getting chemotherapy, receiving chemotherapy, other side effects such as gastrointestinal distress, nausea and vomiting, and diarrhea. Those things are better treated and. If we treat them prior to initiating treatment, a lot of times people don't have any side effects or minimal side effects related to that.
So the question for you in that terms is you have a relationship with the Mayo Clinic Care Network as mm-hmm. well. Can you define that and explain how that process is?
Sure. Mayo Clinic has a care network where as a group of physicians, we're not the only one, but there's other oncology groups and other groups that are involved in this, where we have to demonstrate high quality care to the Mayo Clinic because of their level of expertise. And then, so that helps us, or that allows us to be part of the care network. And with the care network, that allows our expertise to be combined with Mayo Clinic. So, our patients, at no additional cost to them, we can have an electronic consult with the Mayo Clinic, where the Mayo Clinic would review all pertinent information, including radiology or pathology biopsy specimens, and review our plan and to be sure that's the best level of care. So kind of a second opinion without going to the Mayo Clinic.
Wow.
They also allow us to present at what we call tumor boards, where experts in surgery, radiation oncology, medical oncology, all review the patient's information and develop a treatment plan for them. So you can have the expertise of Mayo Clinic and our expertise at Minnesota Oncology together. And I think that exponentially adds to patient care and comfort and knowing that they have the best treatment options available to them.
That's pretty incredible. And in the digital age now, it's easy to share things, I'm sure.
Correct, yeah.
And a process in which you go where they're seeing the same things you are and they're mm-hmm. getting that second opinion, which is really... Who would have ever thought,
right.
when you think back to how all this works? So then you have a comprehensive full circle of care with Minnesota Oncology. What exactly is that and how does that function?
I think that means from the moment we receive information that a referring physician or if you're concerned about something yourself, that we are attentive to you, we get you in quickly, we... allow to get the information, all relevant information, in the community setting, and we can provide comprehensive care. Some of our locations will be able to do even biopsies at the new Hudson facility through the ambulatory surgery center to get that information. Sometimes, a lot of times, people need to go to a hospital, so we can do that as an outpatient again, and then give appropriate treatment, chemotherapy, all in the community, all in the Hudson area. No need to go down or over to the Twin Cities. And I think that, you know, bringing care to the patient is what Minnesota Oncology is all about.
So with that full circle of care that can occur in the new Hudson Physicians facility, we've got a whole corridor of Western Wisconsin who now doesn't have to drive everywhere to do things. Really beneficial for everybody. And then they can just come see you in your nice facility right off the main door. You will be able to see people in February, correct?
Correct, yes.
But then treat them there a little bit later on in the year. Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. So our build-out won't be complete till potentially the summer of, we're shooting for May 1st, 2023. But I'll be able to see patients at the Hudson facility starting February 1st for a day a week, and then, you know, just kind of meeting the physicians there and helping them out. And I think that's going to be really important because we're in the same facility. So I'll be able to even walk over to the Hudson physicians and ask them. And, you know, I think that being in the same facility potentially allows for patients to be seen that same day if there is, they come in with a concern.
Back to what you said earlier. When you want to do within that 24 hours, right?
Right.
That's absolutely what a benefit that is. And for you, I know it's just like a skip right over the border because you're living in the St. Paul area, correct?
Yes.
But you're back in Wisconsin, having been born and raised there, lots of school there. That has to be kind of nice to feel like you're somewhat back home a little bit.
Absolutely. I mean, my roots are in Wisconsin, and I'll never forget them. And, still a Badger, Packer, Brewer, Buck fan. Never turned purple, so.
God bless you for that. Well, I was actually born in Milwaukee. We moved here when I was like a year and a half. And so I've been purple, and my dad was just disowning me when I was like six. I didn't even know what he was talking about. But now I get it, you know. So I should have had the birthright Packer fan in me. But I guess I never do. But I have a lot of respect for the green and gold, a ton of it. So, which is rare for a Viking fan because I know it's a little rough. Trust me, I've observed. So, final question for you: as you embark upon this new partnership, there's a lot of heavyweights in the medical industry that are part of this Hudson Physicians building and group. Can you feel the energy of positivity that are around all of these great providers that have, you know, really said, okay, Western Wisconsin, we've got you? Can you feel that?
Yes. Yeah. I think it's an important, associated eye care and Twin Cities Orthopedics. I think, the message that we're here for you, we're excited to bring care to your community, and bring independent, physician-driven practices to the community.
Dr. Timothy Tunin, great stuff. Jumping on board over at the Hudson Physicians new facility. It's going to be awesome to have you there. And I'd like to remind everybody that the open house for the public will be Thursday, January 12th from 3 to 7 p.m. Address is 2651 Hillcrest Drive. That's in Hudson. It's on the north side of Highway 94 and Carmichael. I'm sure everybody knows, but just in case you haven't and you want to jog over, it's worth doing that. Everything's on the website too as well. Dr. Tunin, thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much, Pete.
Loved it. That's going to do it for this edition of the Optimal Health Podcast. I'm Pete Wagner. So long, everybody.